Hi everyone, my name is Ishan and this is the Build Your Talent Stack podcast. I started my career feeling like I needed to fit in, and now I shape my own career opportunities. And together with the guests I feature on this podcast, we share how we challenge the status quo in how we learn and shape our own jobs. And in many cases, these are jobs that didn't exist before. Get ready to be inspired to explore creative ways to learn, future-proof your talent stack, and forge your own path in the future of work in a way that brings out your personality and your zone of genius. Hi everyone, it's Ishan here and welcome to season 2 of the podcast, where I'll be sharing my learning experience and reflections on the Modern Workplace Learning Practitioner program in the form of mini episodes. Today's episode is part of the program module on modern approaches to training, focusing on curated learning. When you're starting a new job, it's quite common practice to request any background reading material to get you up to speed on the new role. Not so long ago, I also received a whole bunch of PowerPoint presentations, PDF copies of papers prepared by consulting firms who engage to do a strategic review. I even received Excel spreadsheets to have a look at the sort of planning that's underway. I distinctively remember having a folder on my computer desktop dedicated to all this reading material, and if memory serves me right, I easily had over 20 documents in that folder to read. I was so afraid of not being able to retain all the information at get-go, so that I felt that if I saved everything in an easily accessible folder on my computer desktop, so that if I ever needed to go back to it, I didn't have to trawl through my emails to figure out if I already had been sent that document. Now, in stark contrast to my induction experience in that particular job all those years ago, here's what I recently compiled for a new starter joining our team. And it could have not been a more polar opposite to the experience I had all those years ago. Before this person started their role, instead of a presentation pack, I sent an introductory video recorded by one of my peers sharing the fundamentals about the ecosystem that we work with. Instead of packaging PDF files of relevant reading, I only sent a few online articles on the topic that I felt had, bits and pieces of the wording that I felt perfectly describes the problem statement across several articles and also the opportunity that we're working on. I didn't send these articles for them to read end to end. I sent it to them to give them a sense of, what keywords to look for, and that if they wanted to further their reading, or if they wanted to look for a different variation to that topic, they could at least get a sense of what keywords to start with to begin their own research. I also recommended that they do some self-directed learning on cloud technology concepts to get them started. I sent them the link to one micro-learning course that I really enjoyed, and that was the Intro to AWS Cloud Concepts for Non-Technical People, produced by Hiroko Nishimura, who I interviewed on the podcast in episode 89. As I was compiling these materials, I highlighted the why behind my selection for these materials so that they're not limited to what I have just sent them. What I wanted them to focus on was, why am I sending this to them? What do I want them to get out of it? And what kind of keywords to look for in order to further their own research? Okay, so that's what I sent before they started to get a sense of what to expect. And then for the first 30 days of joining the team, I had a very different kind of a curated learning list. I suggested a few key go-to resources to refer to when they need to and where to find them. But more importantly, I put in prompts to not only remind myself on what to talk to them about as they progressively become familiar in their role, but also a guide for them to understand that, you know, you don't necessarily need a whole lot of prior knowledge to be able to have a reflection on those learning prompts. So I wanted to, I guess, help them make sense of what they're reading. And it's okay to be unfamiliar with a lot of things, but to give them guided questions, if you like, to prompt them to think about what have they observed, what do they highlight that they need to go back and further go and revisit some of the reading, or does it prompt a reminder also for myself to maybe connect them with someone in the team so that they can further their learning. The content was both autonomous in the sense that it's self-paced, but also where there was a clear need that they need some, you know, either an introduction to another team, or maybe I need to bring them into a particular showcase so that they, you know, on the same page with everybody else who has been to the showcase. It gives us a view of both self-directed as well as synchronous learning, so that they have a sense of what they can do in their own time, what to schedule in time to do together. And the content is all dynamic, focusing more on fundamentals, the foundations for them to continuously learn from there on. The reason I wanted to share this story as my take on a curated learning approach is because I felt that it was a good balance between structured and unstructured approaches to curating a person's learning experience. If you Google the term curated learning, you'll find examples of how people curate their news feed using automated tools, or examples of where people use certain apps to curate links and articles in an organized way that's also easily shareable online. And also you'll find examples of the simplest form of curation, which is learning through the content shared by your network. The thing is, I'm a bit sporadic in the way that I access curated learning content from others. So rather than preaching about all these different methods in today's episode, I thought that the most authentic story I can share is something around, you know, how I've actually curated learning for this induction program. When it comes to designing your own curated learning approach, what you will learn through this particular module in the program is a four-step guided process to curation. The first step is to understand your audience's needs, not what you think that they might find useful. When I evaluated the needs of my audience, I thought about what their fears might be as they're joining the role, but at the same time, how do I bridge that fear to opportunity in terms of the impact that they want to make. I also thought about what shifts in thinking and mindset and ways of working that needed to happen to achieve our transformation goals, and curated an experience so that their first 30 days of climbing their first set of learning curves, how that sets the tone for how they feel empowered to face any other learning curves to come in the future. I also considered the need for flexibility in how people learn to cater for many different learning styles and also schedules. In fact, one of the new starters said to me, "I just want to put it out there that I was not, you know, a good student. And, you know, I'm not the sort of person that reads everything and does, you know, all their homework." And I thought, we laughed a little bit about, you know, sharing that vulnerable moment. And then I reflected on whether I needed to just, you know, emphasize again that this, the purpose of this curated list is not to tick off every box and not to tick them off all in the first 30 days. But to look at why is it that we have curated these learning blocks, you know, why are these blocks important? How do they relate to my work and my role? And to focus on more around asking questions. So if I don't resonate with the prompt that, you know, we've drafted, then what other questions do I actually have that will enable me to understand how I can make an impact? So already, even though we had shifted the curated learning content into a more flexible format. We needed to shift the mindset also to realize that it's okay not to know everything, it's okay to not read everything, but to take a pull approach to read things when you need to, and that's the whole point. The second step in the curation process is to think about what the most appropriate format would be for the topic. For example, what would be best suited to a presentation, a showcase, versus an online article? What might be better delivered as an email newsletter to share resources or in the form of a standalone blog post? In contrast to sharing learning resources over a blog post, the example that I shared on my curated induction program, the format that I chose was that you need to have a fundamental understanding of this topic and learning prompts to encourage reflection and making sense of what we've learned and how does that relate to the role that we play. Even within the curated induction program, not all resources were in the same format either. So some of them were links to repositories to look at, you know, what we maintain in terms of our services. And also some of them were videos, as I mentioned, and in some cases it was a, you know, set up time with such and such a person to have a guided showcase of this, you know, how we've applied what we do to solve a particular customer problem. The third step in the curation process is to select the content. And this can be done manually, where you select the content yourself, or it can also be done automatically using curation platforms. There's also collaborative curation, where you invite others to add recommended resources to the list, sort of like, you know, co-curating the learning resources. The fourth and final step of the curation process is to think about how you're going to add value to the curated content. This could be deciding what's the right amount of content to curate so that it's resourceful enough without being overwhelming. Adding value could also be about ensuring that there is sufficient variety in the formats to provide flexibility. And lastly, labeling and describing the resource links so that users know exactly what they will find when they click through and how the resource might help them. What you will gain from the curated learning unit within this program module is guidance on the four-step curation process, as well as practical real-life examples of vastly different curation approaches to consider for your learning delivery approach. I hope you enjoyed this episode on modern training approaches focusing on curated learning opportunities. Stay tuned for next week's episode on another modern training approach, micro training. See you in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to the Build Your Talent Stack podcast. If you enjoyed our new series on modern learning and learning out loud, please take a moment to leave a podcast review on Apple Podcasts to help more people discover the series. If there's a topic that you'd like to see covered, please reach out on LinkedIn. My contact details are in the show notes.